a Contra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Contra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are immersing ourselves, really getting into one of the most transformative strategy books out there, W. Chan Kim and Renee Mauvoin's Blue Ocean Strategy.
That's right. And if you're listening, chances are you felt it, that feeling of just relentless competition.
Absolutely. Whether you're in a huge company, a tiny startup, maybe even just thinking about your own career path.
Yeah. And if your industry feels like, well, like a constant battle, margins getting squeezed, everyone's starting to look and sound the same.
That's commoditization, right? You're swimming in what they call the red ocean.
Exactly. So this deep dive is all about the what next. How do you find a way out of that, you know, destructive cycle and actually find profitable growth?
It's a total perspective shift. So our mission today, boil down the key frameworks, the tools, the actual steps they lay out.
So you can stop just fighting rivals.
And start creating completely new market space.
Yeah.
Making the competition, well, almost beside the point.
And we should stress, this isn't just like abstract theory. The authors, W. Chan Kim and Renee Mauvoin, they're heavy hitters. Professors at INSEAD, they run the Blue Ocean Strategy Institute there. This isn't just opinion.
No, definitely not. And what really gives their work its weight, its unique authority, is the sheer scale of the research behind it.
Right. It wasn't anecdotal. It was, what, a decade long?
Yeah, a decade long study. They looked at over 150 specific strategic moves, these decisions that actually created new markets.
Across tons of industries too, right? Like 30 industries.
Over 30 industries and spanning more than 100 years of business history. It's massive.
That empirical backing is just crucial. They weren't just telling stories after companies got successful.
No.
They took all this historical data, looked at what actions were actually taken, and basically decoded a replicable blueprint.
Yeah, they turned market creation from this like mysterious stroke of genius
into something systematic, a process you can actually follow.
Okay, so let's unpack that core idea, that central metaphor they use. It's pretty stark. You've got red oceans.
The known market space, crowded, everyone fighting over the same existing customers.
Yeah, the water gets bloody from the competition, hence red ocean. Profits shrink. Is that like the inevitable fate of all markets, according to them?
Well, they'd say most markets tend that way unless you consciously try to break out. And that breakout leads you to the blue ocean.
The unknown, uncontested market space.
Right, where demand is created, not just fought over. Competition isn't the main thing. And the growth potential is huge.
Okay, so how do you get from the red to the blue? What's the bridge?
The bridge, the absolute cornerstone, is value innovation.
Value innovation.
For ages, strategy was all about this trade-off, you know? You could offer great value, but it cost a lot. Or you could be low cost, but the value was just...
Okay, the value cost trade-off, standard business school stuff.
Exactly. Value innovation just throws that out the window. It says you have to pursue both differentiation and low cost simultaneously.
Wait, differentiation and low cost? That sounds
well,
like the dream, right?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
It feels counterintuitive. But it's about creating a leap in value for your buyers, something genuinely new or better, while also getting your own costs down. Usually by cutting out things the industry takes for granted, but customers don't actually value that much.
But how do they show that's actually achievable systematically, not just, you know, getting lucky?
They show it through the case studies in their research. The successful strategic moves weren't always by the biggest companies or the ones with the most resources. It was about having a disciplined methodology for looking at the industry differently. And that's the power of the book. It gives you that methodology.
Okay, let's make this concrete. Give us that iconic example, Cirque du Soleil.
Perfect example. Think about it. If Cirque had tried to be just another traditional circus competing with Ringling Bros back in the day,
they'd have been crushed instantly.
Yeah.
Red ocean feeding frenzy.
Totally. So instead, they asked that fundamental blue ocean question. What if we stopped trying to be a circus? In the traditional sense.
Right.
They systematically rebuilt the whole concept. They looked at traditional circuses and saw huge costs tied up in, well, two main things. Animal acts.
Very expensive, ethically tricky.
And those temperamental star performers, also expensive and complex to manage.
So step one, eliminate those huge cost drivers. Gone.
Exactly. But they didn't just cut costs. They had to create new value to attract a different audience and justify, frankly, a much higher ticket price.
So what do they add? What do they create?
They brought in elements from sophisticated theater, adult storytelling, themes, integrated lighting, original music, artistry.
Ah, so they targeted a whole new demographic.
Completely. They appealed to adults, corporate clients, people who might go to the opera or ballet, but would never consider a traditional circus.
So they lowered costs dramatically by eliminating circus staples, and they raised value significantly by adding theatrical element.
That's a value innovation in action. They took something kind of dusty and made it high art, creating a whole new market space.
That kind of fundamental rethink leads us right to their analytical tools. You need a way to see what's going on first, right?
Yes, you need a diagnostic. That's the strategy canvas.
Okay, what is that?
It's basically a graph. The horizontal axis lists all the factors an industry currently competes on: price, features, service, whatever. And the vertical axis shows the level high or low that companies offer for each factor.
So you plot your company and your competitors on this graph.
Exactly. And in a red ocean, what you usually see is that all the value curves look depressingly similar. Everyone's kind of clustered together, maybe slightly better on one factor, slightly worse on another.
Benchmarking each other.
Pretty much. A blue ocean strategy, though, its value curve looks totally different. It stands out because it focuses on different factors, offering radically more on some, maybe way less on others. It's unique.
Okay, so the canvas shows you where you are, but how do you actually change your curve? How do you create that unique blue ocean profile?
That's where the next tool comes in, probably the most practical one, the Four Actions Framework, sometimes called the ERRC Grid.
ERRC. Okay, what does that stand for?
It stands for Eliminate, Reduce, Raise, and Create. It's a set of four key questions you have to ask about every factor the industry competes on.
To force you out of just incremental improvements.
Exactly. First, eliminate. Which factors that the industry has long competed on should be completely eliminated? Things taken for granted, but maybe add little real value, especially to non-customers. This cuts costs.
Okay.
Reduce. Which factors should be reduced well below the industry standard? Again, cutting costs by not over-delivering on things people don't value that highly.
Makes sense. What about the other side?
Raise. Which factors should be raised well above the industry standard? This is where you start creating compelling differentiation.
And finally,
Create. Which factors should be created that the industry has never offered? This is where true innovation happens, building new sources of value.
got it. ERRC. Eliminate, reduce, raise, create. Can you give an example of that grid in action?
Yeah, a great one is Yellowtail wine. Think about the wine industry, especially back then. Super red ocean, very
Oh,
complex.
yeah. Intimidating. All the talk about tannins, vintage, region, heritage.
Exactly. Yellowtail looked at that and used the ERRC grid to target people who didn't drink wine, maybe they drink beer, or simple cocktails.
So non-customers.
Right. So they eliminated all that complex wine terminology and the focus on aging. Gone.
Okay.
They reduced the range of wine types dramatically, just a couple of simple choices, and they reduced the focus on like winery prestige and marketing.
Making it less intimidating. What do they raise and create?
They raised the emphasis on immediate drinkability, freshness, fruitiness, easy to understand, easy to like for new drinkers, and they created a really simple, fun, approachable brand. Bright label, that kangaroo, easy to spot, easy to choose, no snobbery.
So by applying ERRC, they basically deconstructed the scary wine category and made it fun and accessible.
And unlocked millions of new customers who'd previously avoided the whole wine aisle. Classic blue ocean move.
That systematic approach using ERRC, it links nicely to another framework they have, right? The Six Paths framework.
Yes, exactly. If ERRC helps you figure out what to change about your offering, the Six Paths helps you figure out where to look for opportunities in the first place. It pushes you to look beyond your immediate competitors.
Beyond the usual suspects.
Yeah, look across conventional boundaries. The book details six paths, like looking across strategic groups within an industry, or across complementary products and services, or even across time.
Let's maybe highlight a couple of the really counterintuitive ones.
Okay, how about path one? Look across alternative industries.
Alternatives, you mean not direct competitors?
Right. Companies often compete not just with rivals in their own industry, but with alternatives that solve the same fundamental customer need, just in a different way. The classic example is Southwest Airlines.
Ah, okay. Who were their alternatives?
They didn't just see themselves competing with other airlines like United or Delta. They looked at the alternative for short to medium distance travel, the car.
Right. People driving instead of flying.
Exactly. So Southwest aimed to offer the speed of flying, but at a price point that was comparable to the cost and hassle of driving.
How they manage that low cost?
By ruthlessly applying ERRC principles, really. eliminating things like assigned seating, meals, hub transfers, which are expensive, reducing service frill.
But focusing just on getting you there fast and cheap.
Pretty much. They created a whole new market for short-haul, point-to-point air travel, attracting people who would previously have just driven.
Okay, that's looking across alternatives. What's another surprising path?
How about path three? Look across the chain of buyers. Most industries tend to focus on one specific type of buyer. It could be the end user, the purchasing department, maybe key influencers.
Right, like pharmaceutical companies focusing heavily on doctors.
Exactly, and that's the example. Novo Nordisk, the diabetes care company. Traditionally, the focus was on doctors, the prescribers, the influencers, and maybe insurers.
Makes sense.
But Novo Nordisk shifted focus. They looked across that chain to the actual user, the person living with diabetes.
The patient themselves.
Yes. And they realized the daily hassle patients faced with traditional vials and syringes. So they developed the Novo Pen, an easy-to-use, discreet insulin delivery pen.
Focusing on the user's convenience and experience.
Totally. It made life much easier for patients, improved compliance, and actually expanded the market because it was less intimidating. They succeeded by focusing on a different link in the buyer chain.
So these frameworks, ERRC, the six paths, they're all geared towards finding these blue oceans. But ultimately, it's about getting new customers, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's the goal. Reaching beyond existing demand. Most companies, maybe unconsciously, spend almost all their effort fighting over the customers they already have or trying to steal them from competitors.
Locked in the red ocean mindset.
Right. Blue ocean strategy says the real goldmine is the non-customers, the people who aren't currently buying from your industry.
And they categorize these non-customers, don't they?
Yes, into three tiers. Tier one are the soon-to-be non-customers on the edge, ready to jump ship. Tier two are the refusing non-customers, people who consciously choose alternatives. And tier three are the unexplored non-customers who've never even thought about your market's offering.
And the goal is to find what unites these different tiers, the common pain points or unmet needs.
Exactly. If you can figure out what turns all these non-customers off and address it through value innovation, you can unlock massive, previously untapped demand.
Okay, that covers the what and how of finding the blue ocean. But what about making it happen? Execution is always the hard part.
It is. And they touch on this. They talk about overcoming the big organizational hurdles, people resistant to change, the cognitive hurdle, lack of resources, resource hurdle, low motivational hurdle, and internal politics, political hurdle.
The usual suspects that kill new initiatives.
Yeah. Their solution is tipping point leadership. It's about not trying to convert everyone at once, but focusing your limited resources and political capital on the key people, acts, or activities that have disproportionate influence. Get them on board, and they'll help tip the rest of the organization.
Smart. Concentrate your fire.
And alongside that, they stress the importance of fair process in how you implement the strategy.
Fair process. What does that involve?
Three things, mainly. Engagement, involving people in the decisions that affect them. Explanation, making sure everyone understands why decisions are made. And expectation clarity, everyone knowing the new rules and standards.
So even if people don't agree with the final strategy,
if they feel the process was fair, that they were heard and understood, they're much more likely to commit to executing it. It builds trust and buy-in from the start.
Okay, so we've covered the core ideas, the tools, the execution. Let's pull back and synthesize. What are the biggest, most fundamental themes or messages here?
For me, the most powerful, almost revolutionary idea is that competition is irrelevant.
That sounds so bold. Irrelevant.
Well, the goal isn't to beat the competition head on. The goal is to create such a leap in value in such a new space that what your competitors are doing just doesn't matter as much anymore. You sidestep them.
Right. You make them irrelevant by changing the game. That ties into the second big theme, doesn't it?
Definitely. Value innovation breaks the trade-off. That deeply ingrained belief that you must choose between offering more value and charging more, or offering lower cost and sacrificing value.
It's a false dichotomy.
They argue compellingly that it is. And crucially, they provide the tools, like ERRC, to systematically break that trade-off. How often do we just accept that limitation in our own work?
All the time. We benchmark competitors instead of reimagining value. Which leads to the third theme.
Which is that strategy is systematic. Not mysterious. Creating new markets isn't just for the Zuckerbergs or the Steve Jobs of the world. It's not purely luck or genius.
It's a process.
It's a disciplined process. Using analytical tools like the strategy canvas and the ERRC grid, you can methodically find and create blue oceans. It demystifies innovation.
I like that. It makes it feel achievable. And there's maybe one more theme tied to the non-customers.
Yes. Look to non-customers for the biggest opportunities. Stop obsessing only about the people already buying in your market. The largest potential for growth often lies with those who are currently rejecting your industry's entire offering. Find out why, and you might find your blue ocean.
The book is also full of really quotable lines that capture these ideas. Should we highlight a few key ones?
Absolutely. They really stick with you. The first one is almost the mantra for the whole book. The only way to beat the competition is to stop trying to beat the competition.
It sounds paradoxical, but it's about redirecting energy, right?
Uh-huh.
Stop focusing on outdoing rivals on the same old factors.
And pour that energy into creating fundamentally new value that opens up uncontested space. Makes perfect sense when you frame it that way.
Okay, another key quote.
How about this one on the core mechanism? Value innovation is the cornerstone of Blue Ocean strategy, creating a leap in value for buyers and your company.
That really nails the dual focus, doesn't it? It's not just about cool new stuff for customers.
No, it has to work for the business too. It has to create that leap in value for buyers and deliver profitability and growth for the company. Both sides of the equation matter.
Right. And maybe one more quote about the research itself.
Yeah, this one is really empowering. The strategic move, not the company or the industry, is the right unit of analysis.
Meaning
your success isn't predetermined by the industry you're in or how big your company is or who your competitors are.
It's about the logic of the strategic moves you make.
Exactly. The patterns of successful market creation are replicable. It's about the quality of the strategic thinking, not just inherited advantages. Anyone, any organization can potentially make a Blue Ocean strategic move.
That's very democratizing. Okay, so how can listeners apply these powerful ideas in their own lives or work? Let's talk practical applications.
Yeah, it's surprisingly versatile. Take personal career development. You can use the ERC grid on yourself.
On your own skills.
How? Eliminate skills that are becoming obsolete or irrelevant in your field. Reduce your focus on abilities that are becoming commoditized things lots of people can do.
Okay.
Then raise your proficiency in unique, high-demand skill combinations. And actively create a novel expertise, maybe blend data analysis with deep industry knowledge or communication skills with technical prowess.
So you create your own unique value curve as a professional.
Exactly. You make yourself less directly comparable, making competition for standard roles less relevant to you.
Cool. What about for entrepreneurs starting something new?
Use the six paths to avoid just launching a Me Too product into a crowded space. Don't just build another food delivery app trying to be 5 minutes faster than the giants.
Look across alternatives or complementary services.
Yeah. Maybe look at the whole problem of urban logistics. Could you combine e-bikes, local micro-fulfillment, and smart scheduling to offer something totally different? Compete on integration and reliability, not just raw speed. Find an underserved niche.
And it works for nonprofits, too.
Absolutely. Apply value innovation to maximize impact per dollar donated. Instead of just offering basic shelter, the standard offering everyone competes on, could you create a leap in value?
How so?
Maybe bundle temporary housing with intensive job training, financial literacy programs, and mental health support. You're not just providing a bed, you're offering a pathway to self-sufficiency. That's a much more compelling value proposition for donors and beneficiaries.
So these tools really offer a systematic way to think differently, regardless of your context.
Right.
Wrapping up, what was the most surprising or impactful thing for you from revisiting this book?
For me, it's how it takes something that feels inherently creative and maybe a bit chaotic, innovation, market creation, and makes it feel, well, like a discipline process.
It demystifies it.
Yeah. It gives you concrete tools and frameworks. It suggests innovation isn't just random luck. It's something you can cultivate systematically. That feels incredibly empowering.
I agree. For me, the lasting insight is that shift in mindset it encourages. Moving from scarcity, thinking the market is a fixed pie you have to fight for a slice of,
to abundance, realizing the market isn't static.
Exactly. Your options, your value innovation can actually expand the pie,
yeah.
Create new demand. It suggests growth is out there if you're willing to look beyond the current boundaries and serve non-customers.
It's a profoundly hopeful and practical framework, a reminder that sometimes the best way to win is to change the game entirely.
Couldn't agree more. A truly essential read for anyone looking to create, build, or just find new avenues for growth. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.